Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith. With the U.S. and Israeli political seasons in full swing, we have been hearing a cacophony of voices. Political figures on the left and in the center are urgently calling for peace talks with Iraqis and Iranians. On the right, there are still those who claim the military posture is working. An attack on Iran, they say, holds the answer. In short, 2008 America has begun to seem like 1968 America to Professor Francis A. Boyle, a law professor at the University of Illinois Law School and an expert on international and human rights law. Back in the 60s, the Vietnam War had divided the country and the right was pushing for continued escalation, while the rest of the world seemed to be moving toward peace.
We are going to see an orchestration of foreign events between now and then that will have an impact or an intended impact on the domestic campaign here that can be used to bolster the prospects of McCain.
Coming up, an extended discussion with Professor Boyle on where things stand in the Bush administration's long-standing policy of threats and demands on Iran. Then Henry Lowendorf of the Greater New Haven Peace Council joins us. Lowendorf and others are challenging Barack Obama with a petition calling on the senator and presidential candidate to speak out against the Bush doctrine on Iran. Obama has come under criticism for his recent support for Israel and his discussions with U.S. military leaders like General Petraeus. First, this update on the six-party talks going on in Europe, which include China, Russia, France, Britain, and Germany. The climate for talks with Iran has clearly changed. Yet George W. Bush has been clinging to his old doctrine. He is now trying to imply that he is playing a commanding role at the negotiating table in talks he has refused to participate in.
I have always said that all options are on the table, but the first option for the United States is to solve this problem diplomatically.
Year after year, the corporate media has used this line from Bush to sum up his doctrine on Iran. Here and there, the emphasis has shifted slightly, but the argument George W. Bush has made that Iran must end its nuclear enrichment program before the U.S. will engage in negotiations is the one the media has focused on. There were attempts at negotiations going on in the background, but they were never covered by the U.S. corporate press, and so President Bush and Vice President Cheney have been able to rely on threats of U.S. military action if Iran doesn't suspend its enrichment program as a policy. Even so, Bush is trying to claim that his diplomatic initiative has been gaining in acceptance.
I've also made it clear that you can't solve a problem diplomatically unless there are other people at the table with you, and that is why we have been pursuing multilateral diplomacy.
In fact, Bush's initiative is clearly failing. The key role in the talks is being played by Europe's top negotiator, EU Foreign Policy Chief Javier Solana. He is currently topping the headlines on Iran. Solana has said he hopes to meet with Iran's National Security Chief Saeed Jalili soon, and with the rising success of negotiations going on without Bush, the words of Democrat Barack Obama have come to symbolize America's more hopeful future with Iran. By July 6th, John McCain's defense of Bush doctrine on Iran had begun to look like a liability for the longtime Republican. He is in sync with Bush's policy, but out of touch with the larger strategy being outlined in Europe. While in Prague, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has attempted some damage control, speaking about the potential talks between Solana and Iran's Saeed Jalili, Rice said Iran may wish to talk with Solana about suspending its nuclear program, according to Reuters. But the Europeans have already told Iran it might be able to continue to enrich uranium if no new centrifuges are created as part of their terms. Europe would provide further economic incentives, technical support, and an end to sanctions. Iran's foreign minister, Manoher Mottaki, sent a four-page letter to the European negotiating team, and he remains optimistic. Part of the reason may be that he is now working around President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and Secretary of State Rice. This was Mottaki during a CNN interview with Fareed Zakaria July 6th.
We hear new voices in America. We see new approaches. And we think that the rational thinkers in America can, based on these new approaches,
واقعیت‌ها رو اونگونه که هست ببینند.
See the reality as it is. We are ready to help them in this endeavor.
Professor Francis A. Boyle joins us next. He has written and lectured extensively in the U.S. and abroad on the relationship between international law and politics. His 11th book is Breaking All the Rules, Palestine, Iraq, Iran, and the Case for Impeachment. It was recently published by Clarity Press. His other recent book is Protesting Power, War, Resistance, and Law, out from Roman and Littlefield in 2007. It has already been used successfully in anti-war protest trials. Professor Boyle, welcome.
Thank you for having me on, Dory, again, and my best to your listening audience.
I'd like to hear first your thoughts on the coverage thus far of the Group of Six talks with Iran, where things stand right now in those talks. And the politics I just described with the foreign minister and others in the European group negotiating, saying positive-sounding things, and the U.S. and Israel still saying hostile things, and the focus once again turning to militancy and the latest remarks of President Ahmadinejad.
First, we have to remember that just a few years ago, Iran sent a comprehensive proposal to the United States government through the Swiss government, which handles our interests there in Tehran, to settle all of the outstanding issues between the United States and Iran across the board. Now, that was under the former President Khatami, and that was rejected under the influence of Cheney. And indeed, the Swiss were even reprimanded for transmitting this proposal to us. So the problem here when it comes to negotiation, in my assessment of the situation, is not on the part of Iran. And this then gets to Obama. Certainly, I think Bush realizes that, you know, if Obama is elected and becomes president and there is not a war between now and then, sure, I think the Obama administration could have a very quick breakthrough in negotiations with Iran. All the signs are there. Indeed, Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of his top foreign affairs advisors, wrote a little piece, I believe, not that long ago in the Washington Post outlining the contours of such an agreement. If he keeps Gates, which he's saying he might keep Gates as Secretary of Defense. As you know, Gates was on that Iraq study group, and they were advocating opening negotiations with Iran. So, yes, I think there very well could be a significant, you know, if the Obama people get in, once they get organized, they were to send some emissary off there to Iran to meet somewhere and chart a roadmap for moving toward full-scale negotiations. I think these issues could be resolved. Indeed, back under President Khatami, Iran already said they're prepared to negotiate over everything, not just nuclear technology, but Hamas, Hezbollah, the Middle East, everything else. They put everything on the table and indicated that they were prepared to resolve these issues in a manner that would be favorable to the United States. So that background, I think, is very well known in the highest echelons of the United States government. And yet they're simply misrepresenting it. And if you look at the talk shows, the talking heads and things of that nature, many of whom, by the way, are on the payroll of the Israel lobby, AIPAC, or affiliated organizations and institutions, they're ignoring that as well. So, yes, that very well could give Bush the reason to launch some type of attack against Iran in the event that Obama is going to come into power. Indeed, Dan Pipes, from his perspective, a bought and paid agent of AIPAC and the Israel lobby, has said the same thing, that if Obama is elected, Bush is going to attack Iran before he leaves office. All the more reason, then, that, you know, we'd have to impeach this guy to stop that attack.
Just explain who Daniel Pipes is.
I went to Harvard with Dan Pipes. We got our PhDs together. Not that we were friends or anything like that, but basically he couldn't, you know, get a job as an assistant professor anywhere. So he set up offices, I think it's called Foreign Policy Institute in Philadelphia. That is an Israel lobby front organization. And he also maintains an enemies list of enemies of Israel, according to Dan Pipes. And at the top of the list are Noam Chomsky, who's Jewish, Joel Beinan, who's Jewish, and I'm up there, too. We were the first five on there, and of course, I'm very honored and pleased to be in the same company as Chomsky and Beinan, and on Dan Pipes' enemies list. It's a good list to be on.
Just want to get your comment on what Iran's foreign minister, Manoher Mottaki, has said on CNN. Let's hear the rest of his comment. He was being interviewed by CNN's Fareed Zakaria July 6th.
The foreign ministers examined the most sensitive issues in their relations as well as international issues. And these are issues that remain on the agenda all the time.
I'm just asking, are you feeling optimistic that there has been a change, a turn, and there is a potential for good relations now?
We hear new voices in America. We see new approaches. And we think that the rational thinkers in America can, based on these new approaches, see the reality as it is. We are ready to help them in this endeavor.
The American presidential candidate Barack Obama has said that he would be willing to enter into negotiations with countries like Iran. Would you be willing to enter into negotiations with an Obama administration?
By stating this position, he actually faced some problems. So by commenting on this, we do not want to create further problems for the U.S. presidential candidates.
There was some implied information in that comment. Implied in that was this idea that while the Bush administration is still in office, George Bush, Dick Cheney, there is no ability to make this kind of negotiation come to fruition, and that the Iranians are looking beyond the Bush administration, beyond January, when a new administration takes office. That's implied. A comment on that, and also on this idea that the Bush administration seems to be, if you read between the lines, actually working against the success of negotiations. Am I correct in assuming that that's what you're saying, too?
First, we have to understand there are no negotiations going on right now between the United States and Iran. Condoleezza Rice deliberately made that impossible by saying Iran must first stop nuclear enrichment before the United States will even talk to it. Well, we have to remember previously, under President Khatami, Iran did stop nuclear enrichment to engage in negotiations with the EU5, figuring that it was going to get something in return from those negotiations, and in particular, security guarantees that it was not going to be attacked by the United States and that its interests in the Gulf would be protected and respected by the United States. And nothing came of those negotiations. So finally, Iran, I believe, concluded that this was just a stall job, that the Europeans were in there just to mark time to keep Iran from further engaging in nuclear enrichment, and that they would stall forever. So Iran then said, well, fine, since nothing has come of our freeze on nuclear enrichment, we're going to go back to enrichment, which is our right under the NPT. So there is where we are now. If I were advising the Bush administration, I would do to Iran exactly what they have done to North Korea. It's very clear, all the signs coming out of Iran, and certainly in conjunction with the response to the letter to Solana, they do want to negotiate in good faith, and they are prepared to compromise. And I think artful negotiators can work out a compromise here if both sides want to. If the United States government can do this on North Korea under President Bush, why can't they do it on Iran? And especially when North Korea has a bomb already, and Iran, we know, does not. And I think the answer is the difference between North Korea and Iran is Iran sits on top of all that oil and gas, which the Bush people want to control and dominate, and to have total control and domination of the Persian Gulf. And that is the only difference between North Korea and Iran. I think it was Richard Perle who made the statement, well, you know, why are we negotiating with North Korea and not with Iraq? And again, I believe it was Pearl who said, because Iraq sits on a pool of oil. And of course, by implication, we wanted access to that pool of oil. And I think that's the same problem here on Iran, that they control all that oil and gas, and we want it. And second, they don't do what we tell them to do. Everyone else in the Gulf, when we say jump, they say how high. But Iran does not. So that also creates problems for us as well.
On July 6th, as the news about Iran was clearly improving, certainly in the European press, we were seeing much more positive news reports. But John McCain's campaign happened to hold a conference call on that day. Here is Randy Schuneman, one of McCain's advisors, arguing that Barack Obama has the Europeans worried.
There's certainly a lot of concern in Europe over his desire to meet unconditionally with the president, Ahmadinejad of Iran, which is at variance with the common position between the United States and Europe.
Francis A. Boyle, what do you think? Is the high-stakes political rhetoric influencing U.S. policy at this point, and where are things headed?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that the United Nations Charter, to which the United States government is a party, clearly requires the peaceful resolution of international disputes. Likewise, the Kellogg-Briand Peace Pact requires the exact same thing, and Iran is a party to that as well. The UN Charter and the Kellogg Pact both require negotiations of outstanding disputes between states. So we have an obligation to engage in such negotiations, and certainly I commend Senator Obama for the statements he has made so far. But listen, we have to understand that all of the neocons are now mobilizing behind and advising McCain. Many of them were gotten rid of for cosmetic public relations purposes in the second round of the Bush administration. And all these people have now signed up for McCain. These are the same people who gave us the war against Iraq. The notion that the Europeans have problems with Obama's proposal to negotiate with Iran is ridiculous. Europe has no great desire to see any conflict between the United States and Iran, and have tried to, you know, within the limitations that the U.S. government has given them, to serve as a bridge to broker a deal. And I would guess that if, you know, Obama comes into office, everyone in Europe is going to breathe a big sigh of relief to have Bush and Cheney and his neocons out of there, and not to have McCain and his pack of neocons in there. And again, we could all hope. Obviously, I do agree that, you know, you're not going to see a summit meeting between a President Obama and President Ahmadinejad. What you would see is an emissaries from both sides being sent, sit down, and probably working out some type of roadmap of steps to be taken. I think that's eminently feasible.
Do you think the Bush administration is going to try to argue, can get away with arguing, that their strategy of using threats has worked with Iran? Can they pull that off at this stage?
It's just like with North Korea. They pulled out of the Clinton agreement. They then began to threaten North Korea, threaten war, the axis of evil, this, that, and the other thing. So North Korea blew off a bomb. And, you know, the best estimate I've seen now, they might have enough plutonium for 8 or 9 bombs. So the threats with respect to North Korea were completely counterproductive. And finally, my personal take on it is that they decided to put North Korea on the shelf for the time being because they were more interested in dealing with Iran, because Iran has oil and gas and North Korea does not. But they authorized the Hill to open these so-called six-party talks. The threats and the bluster, I don't think, have accomplished anything with respect to Iran.
Finally, what about the possibility that the Bush administration would use world events in the Middle East with Iran, or perhaps in Colombia, where we've just seen dramatic headlines, hostages released? Has it occurred to you that we might be seeing manipulations similar, let's say, to the ones described in the book by Gary Sick, October Surprise? That, of course, having to do with hostages who were held in Iran and then very creative political timing on their release. What do you think?
Well, sure. You know, there's a long history of this, even going back to the Vietnam War era, 1968, Nixon telling the South Vietnamese they'll get a better deal out of Nixon than they will out of Humphrey and the Democrats, and then the October surprise. So, sure, it doesn't surprise me that we are going to see an orchestration of foreign events between now and then that will have an impact or an intended impact on the domestic campaign here that can be used to bolster the prospects of McCain. But you also have to understand, I think, that it appears that Uribe is using this to launch a third term in office, which right now is unconstitutional. So it might have more to do then and there with internal domestic politics in Colombia. Clearly, I believe the United States government was involved in this operation. I don't even know if it was a rescue operation. You know, there's the Swiss radio report saying that, in fact, a ransom was paid, and then the rest of this was pretty much orchestrated for media purposes to, one, mask the fact that ransom was paid, and then, two, so that Uribe could use it to launch this campaign for a third term in office, which would require a constitutional amendment. We'll see more of these surprises abroad as this campaign goes on.
Right. NPR did say that the operation had technical assistance from the United States. When I hear the words technical assistance, right, I think of CIA.
Right. NSA and everyone else. Sure, special forces. Wouldn't surprise me that, you know, the whole apparatus of the United States government was behind this.
And CNN reported that John McCain was briefed on the upcoming rescue the day before it happened, July 3rd, one day before Independence Day. McCain, of course, in Latin America at the time.
Right. Well, it looks good in the news media, both in Colombia and in the United States. Sure. McCain's down there, too. He can say something nice about it.
Professor Francis A. Boyle teaches law at the University of Illinois School of Law. His books have been used by peace activists, and he has negotiated on behalf of the Palestinians and Syrians in peace talks involving the U.S., as well as on behalf of other countries and parties involved in tense negotiations. He is author of Protesting Power, War, Resistance, and Law, as well as Breaking All the Rules, Palestine, Iraq, Iran, and the Case for Impeachment. We will be airing more of our one-hour talk with him, but you can find it on our website, talknationradio.org, in full. I'm Dori Smith, and you're listening to Talk Nation Radio. An Iranian missile test Tuesday, July 8th, is getting saturation news coverage. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has also once again promised a heavy military response in the event of an Israeli or U.S. attack on Iran. And Barack Obama has once again called Iran a threat that should be contained with diplomacy and tighter sanctions.
Iran is a grave threat. We have to make sure that we are working with our allies to apply tightening pressure economically on Iran, at the same time as we start engaging in the kind of direct diplomacy that can lead them to standing down on issues like nuclear weapons.
Republican John McCain has said Tehran's missile test is proof of the need for a controversial missile defense shield in Europe. We turn now to a new challenge to Barack Obama from peace activists who are collecting signatures on a petition. They're calling on the presumptive Democratic nominee to make a strong statement about the need to negotiate with Iran to avoid conflict. This was Barack Obama a year ago, participating in a CNN debate where questions were sent in via YouTube.
We've been talking about Iraq. One of the first things that I would do in terms of moving a diplomatic effort in the region forward is to send a signal that we need to talk to Iran and Syria, because they're going to have responsibilities if Iraq collapses. They have been acting irresponsibly up until this point. But if we tell them that we are not going to be a permanent occupying force, we are in a position to say that they are going to have to carry some weight in terms of stabilizing the region.
Henry Lowendorf of the Greater New Haven Peace Council is one of those circulating the petition calling on Barack Obama to make another strong statement about Iran. Just tell us about what your group is doing.
Other groups have started a petition asking Obama to speak out once again, calling for discussions and not threats. Approach Iran as an equal, approach Iran as a sovereign country, where the people of the United States are not interested in more wars, especially wars that simply satisfy the imperial desires of the oil
corporations and the corporate elite in the United States. These wars are a disaster. They kill millions of people. A war against Iran would be an ecological disaster. It's insanity. And we have an administration in Washington, which unfortunately has the support of our own Senator Lieberman, to an administration that really wants to control Iran's oil and is prepared to go to war, as it did in Iraq, to get that oil.
In the southern part of the state of Connecticut, in the 4th District, we see Republican Christopher Shays has also been defending Bush doctrine lately.
You're right. Both Lieberman and Shays are supporting this Bush administration's militaristic policies, warmongering policies. The state peace group Connecticut Opposes the War that the Peace Council is working with, many groups are trying to expose Christopher Shays' warmongering support for the Bush policies in the Middle East and elsewhere. We're hoping that we can help in his defeat in the upcoming election.
In the time we have left, just comment on the role of giant corporations and their political PACs, whether they're representing the nuclear industry, the coal industry, or in some cases a country. We have Israel, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC.
America's most dramatic problems, like it or not, become the world's problems. The United States, with 5% of the people, uses 40% of the resources, and much of it is wasted, is inefficient. The country is on a very serious downhill spiral, all of the things that are going wrong all at the same time, and the rest of the world is terrified about what's going on in the United States. The lobbyists could care less about an ecological disaster. They could care less about war. They could care less. I mean, that's fine. If war is the way to get resources, if the war is the way to control the world's economy, war is fine. If the Iranian people stand in the way, they're willing to kill them off. Unfortunately, the United States has supported the most reactionary right-wing militaristic Israelis. And in return, that same faction within Israel supports the United States. This is a disaster not only for the people in the United States, but for the people in Israel. The people in Israel, as a result of this, have been at war for 60 years. We, the peace movement, has to speak out. We need to get our leaders to speak out. No war. Don't draw the line in the sand and say, if you don't already give up what you want, we won't negotiate with you. We won't talk with you. That's the approach that George Bush has taken with the Iranians. And the media in this country pass it off as being normal thinking, normal speech. In any negotiation, you start out where you start out, and you negotiate, you hope, to some agreement that makes sense for both sides, you know, in the business vernacular, a win-win. That's not where the Bush administration starts. That's not where Joseph Lieberman starts. Not where the Israelis start. They start out by saying, you give in to our demands, and then we'll start negotiating. It's a blueprint for not negotiating. And they know that. They don't want to negotiate. They want to dictate to the world. Imagine any other country coming into the United States and saying, we're going to tell you in the United States what you're going to do. You don't have any sovereignty. Imagine Britain doing that to us. We have been so manipulated. One of the people to whom I had sent this petition by email wrote back and said, really, this petition, or a variation of it, ought to be sent to the other candidates, including John McCain, asking them to speak out and say, look, we're not going to go to war with Iran. We're going to talk over whatever differences we have in a dignified atmosphere, and we're not going to insist that they give in first before we talk. We'll talk with them. We have everything to gain and nothing to lose by talking with them. Get the other presidential candidates to do that. And I thought that was a good idea. And one final point. It is such hypocrisy to bemoan the violence in our cities where young men in particular settle arguments with guns, and maybe they start arguments with guns, when that's exactly what our militaristic leaders are doing.
Henry Lowendorf, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dory.
Henry Lowendorf of the Greater New Haven Peace Council. We'll link to their website. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dory Smith. This program was produced at the studios of WHUS at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions.